If a man ever so much as looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The massive hundreds of millions of dollars pornographic industry . If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. There's no subjunctive mood here. They have persecuted Christ, even unto death. I like this. I like the indicative mood in the Gospels. Future tense, well, it's present for us. They will persecute you. If we are the followers of Christ, if your eye scandalizes you, pluck it out. If your hand or your foot scandalizes you, cut it off. It is better to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye or with one hand or foot than with two eyes or hands or feet to be buried in hell. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. So the litany of sacrifice goes on. From beginning to end, the Gospels are a mosaic of quotable passages, one more demanding than the next. Taken together, they are a formidable obstacle to our selfishness and a veritable mountain to climb in the following of Christ. Is it any wonder, then, that so many people prefer falsehood to the truth? What happens is not what seems to happen. What really happens is never what really does. It is not so much that people literally choose the untruth as untruth, or that they particularly relish a lie. No, it is rather that they prefer the self-gratification of what is untrue before God, because the untruth which they often hide from themselves is self-gratifying. Take the simple fact of chastity. Christ is too clear on the purity he expects of those who call themselves his disciples to have any doubt of his expectations. On the other hand, what Christians call unchastity, but the world calls the pleasures of sex, offers too much bodily and emotional satisfaction to be ignored. So the untruth of unchastity is embraced, not because it is untrue, but though untrue, because it is so pleasant. And by now there are enough writers, may God forgive them, who call themselves Catholics, even Catholic moralists, who defend on chastity, Dante's Inferno never meant more to me than today. Discernment. We hear a great deal these days about the discernment of spirits, and well we might, because there is great need for supernatural prudence to distinguish between what is truly Christian and Catholic and what only pretends to be either or both. With all this preoccupation, however, with discernment, it is imperative that we keep things simple and not get lost in theological jargon, or some people become intoxicated with our own vocabulary. The plain question is, how can we, practically speaking, know the difference between an inspiration from Christ and a temptation from the Antichrist? A good rule of thumb is to ask what side of our nature the impulse favors. Does it favor self-will, or does it favor self-sacrifice? If it favors self-will, we can be sure the impulse is not from God, because self-will, in spite of all its euphonic masks, is another name for pride. If the impulse favors self-sacrifice, we can be equally sure the impulse is from God, because self-sacrifice is another name for humility, and humility is surely the sign of the presence of the Lord. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. This simple rule is more useful than may appear on the surface. How many times a week, and maybe for some of us a day, we are conscious of contrary movements battling for the mastery of our souls. These movements take on countless different forms, and they are almost infinite in variety. We ask ourselves, given an impulse, I wonder if this feeling is a good one. Should I resist or give in? I wonder if this idea that I have just heard about or read about is a sound one. Does God want me to follow or ignore it? How can I tell? So we return to what we had just said before. We apply the norm of self-will or self-sacrifice, and we cannot go wrong, because this Jesus dwells within us as the light of our souls. at the heart of his constant teaching, which he continues exercising to his followers, is the message he gave us, namely the doctrine of humble self-denial. He invariably leads those whom he is drawing to himself by inspiring them to love his will more than their own. In a word, to die to themselves in the performance of what he wants them to do. Let me change the accent. In the performance of what he wants them to do. We close with some implications. Not the least of these implications is the problem of carrying into effect what our faith tells us is true. This is where our trust in God becomes so necessary. For it is one thing to believe that Christ wants us to be like him in meekness and humility of heart. It is something else to believe it so firmly that we act on our faith and then learn from experience how true this belief really is. That's the secret. Christ is our light because he really enlightens. To coin a phrase, Christ works. If we follow his illuminations, we shall find ourselves. How wise we shall become. We shall discover that being little in our own way is the greatest wisdom we can acquire. We shall grow in that deepest of all knowledge, that humility of heart produces peace of heart. And peace of heart gives joy to the heart, such as only Christ can give. If we follow this light, we shall be enlightened, and then we can reflect on our own enlightenment and discover, to our surprise, how wise we are beyond our native capacity, beyond our natural intelligence, beyond the education we have received. We shall know that we know, which is my definition for certitude. It is up to us to take the Savior at his word. That's what the saints did. They took him literally. That's why they became saints. Who are the saints? Persons who did not allow self, which I have capitalized, to stand in the way of Christ's life. You see, we can be our own worst shadow. Hiding the light from Christ. The saints became saints because his light gave them life. The life that is open to everyone who loves God more than himself and is willing to be despised. Oh, the tyranny of human respect, willing to be despised in order that through him and with Christ, God might be glorified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.